is a halacha shiur for Parshas Balak on the topic of Ksivas Hashem, meaning Ksivas Shem Hashem. And the mainstay of this shiur is the insight of the Vilna Gaon in Kol Eliyahu here in Parshas Balak, Perkov Gimel, Pasuk He. The Pasuk says about Bilam and his response to Balak, that he couldn't curse the people of Israel. And if we take a look here, the Pasuk says, Ma ekov lo kabo kel, ma ezom lo zaim, and then it ends with yud kei vav kei. So the two shemas here in this Pasuk, in the Reisha, Ma ekov lo kabo kel, so that's the name Aleph Lamed, and then Ma Ezom Lo Zoam Yudke Vovke. Vayan Bilam Vayomer Lo Uchal Lavar Espi Hashem Elokai Lasos Ktana Ogdola. So the Gaon wants to understand this double language. Ktana ogdol, yesh le dagdek, to ha'im ktana lo yuchal lasos, is memele muvan she kolshken gdol lo yuchal lasos. If he can't violate the will of God on a small matter, then how much more so it's understood on a larger matter? L'chora tevos ogdolim yutaros. So why is it necessary to add words which are superfluous at first sight? Namely, gdola. And the Gaon says to explain this pasuk of ktana ogdola, we have to understand the Medrash Pliya. And the Medrash Pliya is just what it is. The Medrash Pliya says something that sort of defies understanding on one level. On the Pasuk, Vayosem Hashem Dovar Befi Bilam, the Medrash quotes two, what seems to be opinions, it seems to be a controversy. Chad Omar, one said that Befi Bilam is a chaka. We'll have to see what that means. And Hado Dixiv Ma Ekov Vigomer. The Chad Omar, the other opinion, has it Rasan. Hado Dixiv Ma Ezom. And the Medrash doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. It's completely sussum. It's closed. But first we have to understand the difference between chacha and resen. Chacha is a machat kafuf. That is a typical, when you go fishing, you have typically that hook that catches the fish. Shenichnas b'loshen adag v'dokro shel yuchal lahotzio l'chutz, which means that the hook somehow traps the tongue in such a way that the tongue cannot be brought outside the mouth. Resen, on the other hand, is lahepach, shel lochetz es sifsei habehema. It muzzles the animal's mouth, dochak atzum, and there's a tremendous pressure on the mouth, ad shemitocha lachatz zu adchak motzia leshona lechutz. The animal sort of like breaks through this muzzle by taking its tongue and pushing it out. So in one case, the tongue is trapped under the hook. That's called a chacha. And in the other case, the tongue wants to break through the pressure of the muzzle, which is called a resen, and as a result, the tongue goes out. And the Vilna Gaon wants to suggest that there's no controversy, there's no debate over here. Lo pligi. Mar omar chado, mar omar chado, ki b'emes l'shneim hutzach, pam l'chaka, latzor l'shonu b'socho, pam Lerasein ulahotzi lishon ulachutz ledaber yoser. Sometimes
Hashem found it necessary to trap the tongue of Bilam to make sure he didn't say what he wanted to say. In other cases, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Bilam to say more than what he wanted to say. And what is this all about? We have to understand, and this is the basic premise, that Bilam's goal, his objective was simply lekalel es Yisrael. He wanted to curse the Jewish people. Rashi seems to indicate that his hatred for the Jewish people surpassed that of Balak. Rashi says on the pasuk v'gerash tiv min ha'olam. Balak never wanted to be megarish klal Yisrael min ha'olam, meaning completely liquidate, eradicate them. He wanted to, as he says, agashenu min ha'aretz, get them out of the land. But Bilam, Rashi says, his sin was so profound that he wanted to destroy them completely, eradicate them from the world. Okay, having said that, premise number one, the hatred of Bilam. Premise number two, Bilam's desire to curse the Jewish people. Now we want to move on and see what was Bilam's intention hinted at in this pasuk, Kel and Yudke Vovke. So let's understand the difference between these names of Hashem. We know that the name Elohim is indicative of Din. And the beginning of the name Elohim starts with Aleph Lamed. And that Aleph Lamed is the Midah of Chesed. So there's a paradox here. The name Elohim begins with Aleph Lamed. Those are the first two of five letters. But yet, those two letters indicate Chesed, whereas the whole name of Hashem, when it's complete, indicates Din, justice. Now, if we look at the Shem Havaya, we find the exact opposite, the flip side. Why? Because Havaya is always Rachamim, divine compassion, but yet, the first two letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is Yud-Kei, is Din. For example, the Pasuk Ashrei, Agev Rasha Tiasrenu, Yud-Kei. Yud-Kei is Din. Tiasrenu, of course, is the punishment. So punishment is connected to the name Yud-Kei, but when you allow the Yud-Kei to expand to its complete form with the Vav-Kei at the end, then it becomes Midas Harachamim. Now, Bilam, again, wanted to be Ma'orer, he wanted to generate a Midas HaDin against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he was going to mention names of God which indicate Din. HaKadosh Baruch, on the other hand, had the exact opposite objective. His desire was Chesed and Rachamim. And therefore, when it says some Dovar Bepiv, what it means the following, that when Bilam was about, when he was interested in cursing the Jewish people, Hashem is going to change his words in such a way that instead of Bilam enunciating words of Din, it would become words of Rachamim. So that the Shemos of Rachamim would mean the following. When he begins to enunciate the name Elohim, Hashem is going to want to cut him off, because again, Bilam's agenda, his interest is Elohim, which is Midas HaDin. Hashem is interested in Midas HaRachmim VaChesed, so he's going to cut off Bilam after Bilam enunciates the beginning of the name Elohim, when he just says Aleph Lamed, because Aleph Lamed, as we said before, is the shame of Midas HaChesed. The Pasuk says, Chesed Kel, Aleph Lamed, Kol Hayom. So in this case, when Bilam is about to utilize the name Elohim, Hashem wants to cut him off prematurely, meaning stop his tongue in the middle. And that's called Ches Chof Hei, the Chaka that we spoke about before, that hook that digs into the tongue and doesn't allow the tongue to continue to speak in this case. so that this would prevent Bilam from completing the name of Hashem, he would only enunciate the beginning of the name of Hashem, which is Aleph Lamed Amida of Chesed. Now, when Bilam wants to enunciate the name Yud Kei, which, as we said before, based on the Pasuk Asher Yegev Hashem Tiasrenu Yud Kei, that's Din, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the opposite, not the Chako, but the Resen. And the Resen, as we said, forces the being, the animal, to break out, to lash out its tongue, and to complete things that have to be said, but weren't intended originally to be said, so that Bilam's intention was to say Yud Kei. Yud Kei is Din. But Hashem would force him to use his tongue to complete the name and recite and enunciate the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Midah of Rachamim. So we see that Hashem works in both directions here in order to foil the plans, the intentions of Bilam, and instead to bring about Rachamim to replace Din. In the case of Elohim, it's going to force Bilam to stop prematurely and use Kael instead of Elohim. In the case of Yudke Vavke, force Bilam to go beyond that. His intention was Yudke, and now to make it a complete name of Yudke Vavke, which is Midas Harachamim. And now we go back to our Pasuk. And this is what the Pasuk means when it says, Ma Ekov Lo Kabo Kael. In other words, how can I curse the people of Israel if the name Kael is being mentioned here? That's not a word of Klola and Din. That's a word, a name of God that indicates Chesed. So it means the Chaka is what prevented Bilam from enunciating the total name of Elohim. And therefore Bilam was saying, Ma Ekov Lo Kabo Kael, meaning, Bilam is admitting that if, because the divine being placed into his mouth, so to speak, a chaka, he, Bilam, now is denied the possibility of reciting and enunciating the name Elohim, which is Din. Then Bilam declares, Uma ezom lozom yudke vavke, meaning, Ech ezam, how can I, out of my sense of anger, curse the nation of Israel, im zeh Hashem shal havaya einenu mora al zam veroges. In other words, Hashem is now using the resen to force Bilam to complete the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and now Bilam has no choice but to mention the name Havaya, which is a name of Rachamim, and Bilam is denied the ability to say, to enunciate the Yud Kei, which is Din. And at the end of the day, what Bilam is going to recite here is Kael and Yud Kei Vav Kei, the two names of Chesed and Rachamim. And that's what Bilam means when he says, Hello, Eis Asher Yosem Hashem Befi, Om Oso Eshmar Ledaber. That which Hashem puts into my mouth, that's what I have to express, that's what I have to enunciate. And now, we can begin to understand, what does it mean when Bilam declares him, Yitein li bolok melo beso kesev zolo ucha lavar espi Hashem Elokai? What it means is that there are names of Rachamim and names of Din. And he says, Lasos ketana o gedola. So in the case of ketana, he means to say that I wanted to take the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and just mention the shorter version, the Yud-Kei, and by being Makatsa, by shortening the letters, I would achieve Din of Yud-Kei. That's called Ketana. Ketana means to reduce, to diminish, to shrink the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei to Yud-Kei. And then Bilam adds O Gedola. In other words, I wanted to recite the longer name of God, which is Elohim. And when I began to mention that name Elohim, I wasn't able to complete that name and to make it Gedola. And instead, the chaka came along and cut me off in the middle, and all I could say was kel, which is midas harachan. So we have the chaka and the resen, which are both standing against Bilam to prevent him from implementing his klola, and that's called lisate negdi. In other words, they are forming a barrier against me, and they're forcing me, in one case, to extend the name, in another case, to shorten the name, and that's lahagdil ulahakti. So this is the very stunning and brilliant interpretation of the Gaon, and it explains a number of things. First of all, it explains the Medrash about the Chaka and the Resen. Secondly, it explains our pasuk about Kel and Yudke Vovke, why the different names of Hashem. Also explains and justifies why it says Im Ktana, Lasos Ktana O Gdola, why do we need Gdola if Ktana? And in general, what does it mean that I can't, says Bilam, I can't be over Pi Hashem, because Hashem is going to put the words into Bilam's mouth. And what that means is either to shorten the name Elohim and make it into Yud Kei, make it into Kel, which is Rachamim, or to expand the name Yud Kei to make it into Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Rachamim. Now there's a sefer of Rav Kalbach called Chavetzel Sasharon, in which he deals with the parasha usually from a halachic perspective, and he mentions a chakira of the Rishonim about the name Kel and the name Yud Kei. And there are two ways in which the Rishonim deal with the status and the sanctity of Kel and Yud Kei. One way is to say that the Kedusha, the sanctity, is a result of the fact that it's a shortened form of Elohim or of the name Havaya. In other words, the very fact that you're giving the beginning of a name, that already has a certain Kedusha to it. Or, alternatively, the sanctity of the names Kel and Yud Kei, respectively, is not a result of the fact that they are the beginning of a longer name, but rather they themselves, independently, are names of God that have their own inherent Kedusha. And the Chavetzel Sasharon proves from the Gaon that each of these names is fundamentally different. The name Yud Kei is Midas Hadin, the name Havaya is Midas Harachamim. So you see that Yud Kei is inherently different, fundamentally different than Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not just the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's a different entity. Whereas Yud Kei Vav Kei is Midas Harachamim, Yud Kei is Midas Hadin. And the same thing applies with Kel. Kel becomes Midas Harachamim, even though it could be defined as the beginning of the name Elohim, which is Midas Hadin, but then the two names that are absolutely antithetical and mutually exclusive. So we see, says the Chavetzel Sasharon, that at least within the framework of the Gaon's understanding of what went on over here, we have a name which is not a shortened form of a longer name, but an entity of itself that's absolutely antithetical to the longer name. Now, what we want to discuss at this point, this is, till now was more of the almost the hashkafic part of today's understanding of the parasha, but now we move on to a heavy discussion in a halachic level. We have an isa called Mechikas Hashem. There are seven names which the Rambam enumerates in Perek Vav Milchus Yisori HaTorah. These are the Shemas HaKadoshim. And if a person erases any one of those names, he gets Malkus. Not only that, if he erases one letter from any of those names, any of those words, that also is a violation of the Issur Lotasun L'Hashem Elokeichem. It's a violation of Mechikas Hashem. Now, the Shem Ben Dalid and the Shem Adnus are two different names. And then we have Elokim, Vieya, Shakai, Tzvokos, and we have Yudkei and Kel. And if we calculate the Sheva Shemos, let's just calculate them together. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ah. So let's see, again, the Rambam's language is the following. He says, Shem Yud Kei Ve Aleph Lamed Kel B'mokum Shehem Shem B'fnei Atzmo Lokin Alem B'Avol Kosav Yud Kei Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei Ve Kel Mi Elokim Ve Lo Gomer Es Hashem Is Nira Di'ein Isim V'chikos V'daraisa Kemen She'eno Shem B'fnei Atzmo B'mokum Ahu. So basically, according to the understanding of the Rambam, it would seem that on this Chakira, as to whether or not Kel is sanctified insofar as it's a shortened form or the beginning of the name Elokim, and the same is true for Yud Kei vis-a-vis Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Rambam seems to say it all depends. If Yud Kei or Kel are being presented, are being written as a Shem B'fnei Atzmon, then if you erase those names, you get Malchus. But if, on the other hand, he had intended to write the entire name, in the meantime, he wrote only part of the name, he wrote Yud Kei and he didn't finish up with Vav Kei, read Aleph Lamed and he didn't finish up Elokim, is in such a case, there's no Isa Mechika D'Oraisa. Why? Because here he was writing Yud Kei is the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, or Aleph Lamed is the beginning of Elokim, and when it's part of a longer name, it's not a Shem B'fnei Atzmo, and it doesn't incur a chiyuv Malkus. Now, the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Lamed Zayin, and this is going to generate some controversy. He's of the opinion that if a person wants to write Yud Kei and just Yud Kei alone, then he would not be allowed to add a Vav, because a Vav is Mekalkel Es Hashem. Because first he wrote the name Yud Kei, and now he's writing Yud Kei Vav, which is not a name at all. Yud Kei is at least the name of Hashem. So let's just reiterate what the Minchas Chinuch is trying to convey here. He says, if a person wants to write Yud Kei, and that's all he wants to write, then if he would add a Vav, then it's Nishtaher Nishtahin, it's not here, it's not there, he's really being Mekalkel the Shem, because the name is Yud Kei, it's not Yud Kei Vav, and there's no name that's Yud Kei Vav. If he would have added a Vav Kei, okay, then it makes it into Yud Kei Vav Kei. So this leads the Minchas Chinuch to raise the following question. He says, Koshali, I don't understand. If he's writing Shem Havaya, his intention is to write Yud Kei Vav Kei. So now, if he writes Yud Kei, that's okay. It's a Shem. But then he adds the third letter of Hashem, of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Vav. At that particular moment, he was Mekalkel, the Shem Yud Kei. And if that be the case, he should be Chayav for violating the Isur Mechikas Hashem. Because it's only after he adds the last hey and he completes the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's when it becomes a shame. Now again, this is a case of a Kalkal Manas L'Sakim, meaning he's adding the Vav after the Yud Kei in order to add the hey at the end in order to upgrade the name. But nevertheless, L'Chatchila, we should try to find a way in which there's no moment in time in which he's Mekalkel the shame. That would certainly be preferable. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Nedarim that a person should not say Lashem Karbon, because we're afraid he may say Lashem and then he gets distracted. He never says the word Karbon, or maybe he'll change his mind and he was Motzi Shem Hashem Lashav here also. Chas v'shalom, let's say he doesn't complete the last hey, he gets distracted. Then it turns out that once he added the Vav after the Yud Kei, he was Mekalkel Lashem. And this is a real problem. Now, one could have said the possibility is, based on the curious sefer that we saw before, that since he was not interested in writing Yudke Vovke, I'm sorry, in this case, he wasn't interested in writing Yudke, but rather writing Yudke Vovke, then maybe Yudke is not a shame at all. And then there would be no Isu Doraisa Mechikas Hashem on Yudke. But nevertheless, even if it's not a Doraisa, but it's a very strange situation that in the case of the Gemara Nedarim, which we saw about Lashem Karban, there were takonas that were made, the whole takon of Kinui, instead of Karban, was made in order to avoid a situation where he may stop midway and he's left with the Shem Hashem. Here also, if he stops midway, right after mentioning the Vav, I'll call upon him, he violated a Mechika Derabanan of the Shem. We should really avoid that. And therefore, just like they made a takana with regard to the lashon of karban, of Lashem karban, being magdish el behema Lashem karban, they made a takana to avoid being motzi shem Hashem lashov. So too, why didn't they make a takana here with regard to mechikas Hashem? And what they could have done was that they could have established that if a person's writing the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, let him leave out the first Yud, write Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Hey again, and leave the Yud at the end. So if he writes the letters Hey, Vav, Hey, and then afterwards he adds the Yud at the beginning of those letters, at the beginning of the word, then he has a complete shame, and then there's no possibility of being Mekalkel, or, because again, what happens if he didn't write the last Yud, so he never wrote the name of Hashem? And once the very second he writes the Yud, he's already written the Hev of Hey, he completes the Shem. So there's no middle ground in which he could be Mekalkel the Shem. And based on this Kasha, the Minchas Chinuch, he derives the following conclusion. He calls it a Raya Brura, the Shem Tzorach Lios Kis Sidron. That there really is no option to leave out the first Yud, because the name of Hashem has to be written in sequence. Yud, K, Vav, K. And that's the mitzvah of writing the Shem. Then he invokes a tshuva, the Nodav Yehuda, in which the Nodav Yehuda writes that the Shem has to be written kiseder, and in its sequence. And the Minchas Chinuch adds a comment. He says, I never found anyone who says such a thing, and the Nodav Yehuda doesn't quote any source. The answer might be that the Nodav Yehuda derived it from this particular halacha, I should say, or absence of halacha, meaning the fact that with writing the Shemos, the Shem Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, there was never a halacha, or never a takana that was instituted to put the first Yud at the end, is the fact that they didn't do that, which would have been a perfect solution to the chashash, to the possibility that they would, that the sofer would write Yud K Vav without the last hey. The reason why this takana was completely impossible is because by leaving out the first Yud, you don't have the Kedushas Hashem. The Shem has to be written Kisidron. The Yud can't come at the end. And at this point, the Minchas Chinuch quotes a sefer called Sefer Yoshua. And he writes that he too says that the din that you need Kisidron, he doesn't find a source for it anywhere. But the Minchas Chinuch says this is the source for that conclusion that the Shem has to be written Kisidron. Because otherwise, you're in a very precarious situation. I should say the other way around. Because otherwise, if not for the requirement of Kisidron, then why not establish this takana to leave the Yud for last? Now at this point, the Minchas Chinuch quotes a Mishnah in Yoma, on Daf Lamed Ches, and he has a kash on that Mishnah, and he has a teretz based on what he just concluded. The Mishnah establishes that there are various families, branches of families that were mentioned Lignai, because they had certain expertise and they didn't want to teach it and share their knowledge with others.
a certain base garmu, that they didn't want to teach the mice of lechem aponim. There was base avtinas, they didn't want to teach about the ketores. And then the Mishnah mentions ben kamtzar. And they were also mentioned in a derogatory way. Why? Because they did not want to teach Maisak Sav. Maisak Sav. And what were they, what was their skill, that particular genius that they didn't want to share with anyone else? And that was that they were able to write a word that's made up of four letters and write all four letters at the same time. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Lamed Beis in Yoma explains the technology, how they were able to write four letters simultaneously. And number two, Mein Afkamina, why is that so important? Such to such extent that they were held in contempt because they didn't want to share that knowledge. So the answer is, says the Minchas Chinuch, what they were able to do, their secret skill, was to accomplish writing all four letters of the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei simultaneously, meaning that there's no split second of kilkul after you write Yud and then a K and then a Vav. So that since they were able to write all four letters bevasachas, that would avoid any sort of kilkul. If a person doesn't have that skill and that ability to write four letters simultaneously, then Bar Kamtzar would write Bishlemus. Because again, the logic is, let's just go over the logic one more time. If you can't write all four letters at the same time, then okay, so in that case you'll have to enter into this situation of ke'ilu or quasi kilkul after the third letter of the vav is written. But Ben Kamtza could avoid, circumvent that entire story, that entire need to be mekalkel with the third letter by writing all four letters simultaneously. And just to summarize the Minchas Chinuch, he's pointing out that our discussion here about the Shemos, in which we came to the conclusion that Yud Kei is indeed a Shem Hashem, and that we said was identified with Din, if you recall, and Hashem cut off Bilam midway in order before he could complete Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he just recited Yud Kei. No, I'm saying just the opposite, I'm sorry. That instead of just allowing Bilam to recite just the Yud Kei of Midas Adin, Hashem forced the mouth of Bilam to conclude the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. But in any event, we see that Yud Kei is fundamentally different than Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a name unto itself. Why then should we not make a takana to avoid the following scenario, the following pitfall? If we allow him to write the shem Yud Kei and then a Vav, that at that moment, if we freeze that moment in time, we have a kilkul on the name Yud Kei. Why couldn't the Chazal be misakin that the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei be written at the very end? And the answer is because it's Halach of Kisidron, that the four letters of the name of Hashem have to be written in sequence, one after the other. And if they could all be written Vavasachas, that would be the ideal situation, because then there's no problem in the sequence of it, and then you're guaranteed that there won't even be a Miktas Kilkul, and that's exactly what the Sugyan Yuma is establishing. Now, one of the famous meshivim in the Tshuvas literature about 250 years ago is the Maaseis Binyamin. And he was asked about printed Sfarim. This was already after the printing press. And the question was, printed Sfarim, do they have the same sanctity as handwritten Sfarim that are written by Sofrim? What's the status of printed Sfarim? And in this Tshuva, the Maaseis Binyamin
speaks about the fact that you could argue l'chora that printing, where you print the entire page in one with one burst of energy, with one koach, it's not the derech ksiva, where one letter is written and then another letter is written, and maybe we need a certain kedusha that is generated by each os, or for each os, by its ksiva, and that has to be done independently. Every os requires its own maisa ksiva, which means it's not enough to have bekoach echad, a kedusha achas for the entire page with all the tevos, all the letters and all the words in it. And after presenting that l'chora, the Masis Binyamin says just the opposite is true. And he wants to say that it's a Maila Yisera, it's an extra element of Kedusha that's engendered by the fact that he could write many letters bevas achas. That's superior to writing them one after the other. And he quotes the Gemara Yuma that we saw about Ben Kamtzar, that they were criticized because they didn't publicize and teach their manufacturing skill, you know, their technological breakthrough. The Gemara tells us in Yuma and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis that this Ben Kamtzar was an expert. He would take four kulmusin, he would have four quills, each one between two of his fingers, and he would write the name Yud Kei Vav Kei in one fell swoop, all four letters simultaneously. And he didn't want to teach others how to write this way, and therefore he's considered a Rasha. Now, he didn't want to teach something which would have been Limal Yusa, apparently, right? If he's being castigated for not teaching, it means for not sharing a great breakthrough, a great technological breakthrough, which means to write the entire Shem Bevas Achas by using four kulmasin between his etzbos and writing all these four names. So we see that simultaneity in terms of the writing of the four letters of the name Hashem is something to be praised. It's something that's l'mal yusa. And just like in the case of Beis Garmu, they were bekiyim in the Maisa Lechem Aponim, Beis Avtinus, they were bekiyim in the Maisa Ketoris, and they didn't want to teach others because there's a special Maila in the way they did the Ketoris and the way they did the Lechem Aponim, and they were afraid that Shema Yilmod Odom Sheino Hagun V'yasa Kein, somebody who's, you know, maybe an idol worshiper will watch the way they do it, you know, the Ketores and the Lechem Aponim, and by imitating that, there will be a violation of Avodah Zorah. So therefore, they will Hashem Shamayim, they were not castigated, they didn't teach it to others, they wanted to make sure that this method would not become, you know, all the secrets that went into the Ketores and the Lechem Aponim would not become common knowledge, because it was Begolui, then who knows how it could be misused and abused by an idol worshiper. And therefore, Zecher Tzadik Livroch. But in the case of Ben Kamtzar, he didn't want to teach this Maile Yisera of a Maisek Sav, in which all four osios would be written simultaneously. And again, just to go over what the Masis Binyamin had established before, that Ben Kamtzar wouldn't be Hayanotel Arba Kulmasin Bein Etzpaos of a Kosev Shem Ben Dalid Osios, meaning Yud Kei Vav Kei Bevas Achas. And apparently, this Maisik Siva, this special Ksav that was invented by Ben Kamtzar, would accomplish a great goal, in which the Shem Hashem would be written Bevas Achas. And that's Lamal Yusa. So that it comes out that writing the Shema Shem Bevas Achas is a Milo. So let's just read the last few words in this tshuva. He said, "Avakamtza shalayirotza lamed hamaila Yiserish of Maisak Sav, Beloshim Tam, Ba'olam, Omrolov Shem Rishoim, Yirkav, Umeacher Shizelia Yodea, Lichtov Koleosios Shal Shem Vas Achas, Yehoshival, the Milo Gidolov, Yiser Belis Sophic, Sheyeshpaz Seder, Sheyeshpaz Sod, Ukdusha Rabbah, Yosem Vishem Shinitvot Yosem Vizacher Zed. There's some sort of secret mystical reason why writing the name of Hashem Vasachas, all four letters simultaneously, is greater than writing them one after the other. Vimkein Hua Dinami Vimalechas Hadfus. Now getting back, swinging back to the original question that we asked about printing, where in the case of printing, it's not bozech or zeh, it's not one os and then another os, but rather it's printed, the entire page is printed in one shot simultaneously. That's not a greusa. That's not a lowering of the level of kedusha. On the contrary, that elevates the level of kedusha even to a higher level. And again, it's all based on some sort of metaphysical reasoning. But we see clearly that the Ben Kamtzar was held in contempt because he didn't teach how to write all four letters Vasachas, which is much more meaningful and powerful based on the secrets of the Torah. Here was a man who could have helped us by teaching us how to get all four letters of Hashem's name Vasachas. But what we do have, says the Masas Ben Yomin, is we have a printing press, and with the printing, we could really produce all four letters of Hashem's name, Bevasachas. And that would answer the original question about Sfarim HaNitfasim. Do they have Kedusha Sfarim? Or should we say that since they're written one after the other, doesn't have the Kedusha HaSeif? And the answer is, from that perspective, the fact that the printing will effectuate the name of Hashem in all four letters simultaneously, that's a malyusa, that's a plus rather than a minus. According to the secrets, the esoteric part of the Torah, the creation of a simultaneous creation of a Kedushas Hashem, in which the Kedushas Hashem is Chal B'Shlem, is immediately on all four letters, and that supersedes the Kedushas Hashem, which goes piecemeal, and we wait for the last letter. But be that as it may, the logic here of Kisidron, which we saw in the Minchas Chinuch, which excluded the possibility of leaving the Yud at the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei for last, that halav Kisidron can be achieved through Ksivas Arba Osios Bevasachas. And that would have been Lishvach if only this inventor of that methodology would have shared his knowledge with others. And then we would know how to write all four letters of Hashem, of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, simultaneously. We'd have no problem of Shalok Kesidron, and there would be no room for the kilkul of adding the Vav after the Yud Kei and being Mekalkel the name of Yud Kei, because all four letters are written simultaneously. Now, way after the Masas Binyamin, the Maratz Chayis wrote a tshuva on this topic, and he largely bases himself, stands on the shoulders of the Masas Binyamin, and he writes that, you know, the great technique that we call tfus, that we call printing, really has its roots and its origins in the invention of a Jew based on his chachma. And already back, he says, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bais Sheni, it was already known to the Chachma Yisrael that there is such a technique out there. As the Mishnah says in Yuma Lamin Ches, this technique was used by Ben Kamtzar, but he refused to share it with others. And why are we so upset with Ben Kamtzar for not sharing it with others? Well, first of all, we saw the logic of
of the Masis Binyamin, that it's a greater Kedusha when all four letters are written together. And then we saw the logic that by writing all four letters together, you circumvent, you obviate the problem of Vav after Yud-Kei. But the Maariv Chayis wants to go even a step further, as we'll soon see, in explaining why it was Lignus that they didn't, this Ben Kamsa would refuse to share his knowledge with others. And he says the following. He says, quoting the Brice and Yuma that we saw before, No till Dalit Kul Mesun Bi Arbetz Ba'osav Ayakosev Teva Bas Dalit Osios. And he quotes the Masas Binyamin that Rashi, the Mishnah, writes, Ben Dalit Osios, that's got a toeles that the Shema Gadol is Niskadish B'famachas, that simultaneously he's Mekadish the Shema Hashem by writing all four letters at the same time. And the Masas Binyamin, based on that, comes to the conclusion that Tfus, that printing, is even better than Ksiva, and it's Mekadish, the Shem HaGodol Kiachas. In other words, when you write B'Ksav Yad, then you're only going to be able to Mekadish the Shem B'Zeh Chazeh, each letter independently until you finally get to the fourth letter. And basically, what happens here in the technology of Ben Kamtzar is really what we call the printing press. He took four osios me oferes, which is a certain soft metal, nosan aleim dio. He poured into these four letters dio, let's ink, and then vidoch kalaniyar. And that was what Ben Kamtzar was able to do to achieve writing all four letters simultaneously. Kemosha Osim Bali Melech Satfus Ayom, which is exactly what the printers are doing today. There's no other possibility of writing four letters Ke'achas, you know, with Kol Musim. Atzchais points out that without the technique of printing, it would be very difficult for us to get four letters written simultaneously in such a way that there wouldn't be a hefsek of one os meruchak min chaver kishir os, which is a psul, as formulated by the Yerushalmi in Megillah, the Brisa Masechet Sofrim. Anyway, there's something very brilliant over here that's going on to avoid any sort of psul and achieve this goal of four letters written simultaneously. That's the chokhmah here that was invented, you know, this breakthrough by the Ben Kamtzar, and he should have shared that with others. But here's the point that I wanted to mention. He says that not only was there such a toeles in being Mekadish the Shem HaGodol Ke'achas, as we saw in the Masas Binyamin, and the Shem HaGodol is four letters, and what's this Hey Hey Dalit he writes here? That Hu Adin Shoyeyochol Lichtov Al Yidei Kibbutz Osio Shaloferes Teva Yoser Gedolo. They had the technology already to create even a larger letter. It's not just four letters, using a larger word, I should say, but it was just unnecessary. And again, getting back to this point, why Chazal was so negative about this Maisa of Ben Kamtzar, who didn't want to share his great invention, his knowledge with others, is because everyone has a mitzvah. Every Jew has a mitzvah in a Kaddish, the Shem. And this would be, furthermore, a kavod to the Bnei Amam, to the people of Israel, that we could claim through our Chochmah we invented this great technology. And not only would this be a toelis, a tremendous benefit for
Am Yisrael, but moreover, it would be something that's tremendous for all of mankind, all of humanity. He, by the way, quotes a Gemara in Bava Metzia about the Ma'is of Chia, that he was able to capture a deer, and with its hides he was able to write Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And that's how he was able to spread Torah. Imagine, he says, had there been Chumashim V'Tfus at that time, thousands and thousands of copies could have been created of the Torah immediately, and that would have been L'Tiferes Am Yisrael. And the nations of the world would stand and be amazed. Am Chachom V'Navon Agoya Gadol Azeh. Look at our Chachma, that from this we have the printing press. And he writes, Asakona Lo Hoysa Mefachedes Im Hoysa Gam Shar Ha'amishtam Shemelocha Zu. There's nothing to be afraid of if the other nations of the world would imitate and learn from us the Melechas Hadfus, the printing press. And therefore we were knowing, this Ben Kamtzu was knowing V'midas Tzar Ayin, and he held it for himself. He didn't forget it for others. We have a principle that if you studied something and you came to a brilliant conclusion, share it with others. And this is especially true in the case of this malach, which has such a toelis atzuma. And therefore we understand why the Chazal were justified in criticizing so harshly this Ben Kamtza fellow, who did two evils. Number one, he prevented kavod to klal Yisrael. Number two, he prevented the world, all of mankind, from having this tremendous benefit, this toil satsuma, through the Ma'is Hadfus. Okay, I see the hour is late. We'll stop over here, and the Mirz Shem will try to continue and be mashlim this topic later on.